Well, do you remember 2 years ago, Christmas 2019? This was a photo we took Christmas 2019 just down the steps here, my family and I. But Christmas 2019, let me explain to you Christmas 2019. Christmas 2019, most of us hadn't maybe heard of or thought deeply about the word pandemic. Unless we were some sort of like board game nut, there's a game called Pandemic out there, I think. If you were into that, maybe you had thought about the word pandemic, but most of us hadn't thought deeply. None of us had probably worn or considered or thought about like wearing masks and should we wear masks, should we not? It was just not a question that we were asking Christmas of 2019. Most of us probably got vaccines when we were a kid, but hadn't given it a lot of thought lately in Christmas of 2019. But then we know March of 2020 happened. We were introduced to words like lockdowns and mandates and all the things that go along with the reality we've been living in. If you're anything like me, I would love to rewind the clock and go back to Christmas of 2019. Because it seemed more simple. It seemed less divided. It seemed like it was a more stable time. And don't we want somebody to come and do that? Like, isn't that what we've been kind of looking for? Somebody who would come and kind of bring back stability, usher in peace, bring a solution. Well, this evening, I think that's an interesting question because we come to Christmas. And as we look at Christmas, I want you to know that it has always been the case that people have been longing for someone to come and bring stability and peace. And we are not unique in that at all. In fact, there was a time, and we're going to open our Bibles. If you have a Bible, you can open it with me to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to be in verses 1 to 7. We're going to particularly hone in on verse 6. It's on page 573 in the Pew Bible in front of you if you want to turn there. I know it's dark, so you don't have to, but it'll also be on the screen. But 700 years before Jesus came as a baby, there was a time of uncertainty and instability. And the people of God, God's people, they were living in that reality, but they were hoping for more. And so the prophet Isaiah, he said some amazing, amazing words to them that I think are pertinent to us this Christmas season, living in the reality of Christmas 2021. So if you have a Bible, it's going to be Isaiah chapter 9. We're actually going to read the last verse of chapter 8. It says this, And this is important for the context, because a lot of times you'll hear the chapter 9 on its own, but you need to understand chapter 8. And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. And then you turn the page, chapter 9, but there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. Verse 2, he says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. Why? For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. And verse 6, maybe you know this verse, maybe you've heard it. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and listen to his name. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. See, this is written to a time where it was not dissimilar to where we are living. The specifics are a little bit different, but these people were living in a time that made them feel confused, helpless, abandoned, and troubled in many ways. There was big geopolitical things over which they had no control. There were things that they would wish were different about their world, but they weren't able to change them. There were things that they had to make decisions about, but they didn't necessarily understand or have confidence that they were making the right decision. There was confusion. There was probably times when they, because of what God was doing in their midst, where they felt like they were abandoned. He wasn't there with them anymore. And there was times where they just felt stirred up in their spirit. You look back to verse 22, it says some interesting things. It says, they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. Darkness is a symbol for confusion, for not knowing where you're going. God was going to send judgment on his people because they had turned their back on him in their sin. And there was going to be a time of darkness, distress, and gloom. And into that time of distress, like, they were going to look for answers. If you go back in the chapter, in verse 19, he says, when they say to you, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living? The people in Isaiah's time, they had questions, and they were looking to every source except God for the answer to those questions. Like a Christmas search engine. And they were trying to figure out their life and trying to get guidance. They felt confused. They felt helpless. God said to his people in chapter 8, if you go back to verse 7, he said, because of the way you're living, you've turned your back on me as your God. He said, therefore, behold, the Lord is bringing up against them the waters of the river, mighty and many, the king of Assyria, and all his glory. And it will sweep on into Judah. It will overflow and pass on, reaching even to the neck. God was going to send Assyria, this country, and they were going to come, and they were going to bring painful circumstances to God's people because they turned their backs on him in sin. They're going to be swept away as in a river. It's a feeling of helplessness. God's people, they felt confused. They felt helpless. And in the midst of that, I imagine they felt like God had maybe turned his back on them. Felt abandoned by him. And I think one of the reasons Isaiah wrote what he wrote is because they needed hope, because they would wake up every day, kind of like we do. They would look at the news and they would think, man, it is messed up. What is going on around here? They probably had questions. Questions about, I don't know what to do. Maybe you have a question like that this Christmas. You know, there's all these things going on in life, and I'm just not exactly sure what I should do. Maybe they felt, you feel helpless. That's one of the things we felt in the last couple years. Maybe it's not. Maybe it doesn't have to do with COVID. Maybe it has to do with something else. But we feel helpless because there's things, and we can't necessarily change those circumstances. We say, I wish there was someone big enough to help me. Maybe you feel abandoned by God. God, where are you? I haven't seen you this year. Maybe you're here this morning or this afternoon, and some of you, it's a common mistake, but you got a storm raging inside of you. And as you get together with family and friends, maybe that's not a joyful thing. Maybe there's pain in that. But it's a common experience to feel in the midst of life, whether it is COVID-19, whatever the thing is, to feel confused, not knowing what to do, feel helpless, not being able to do anything to change your circumstances, to feel abandoned, and to feel troubled. But into that, Isaiah chapter 9 is written. It's written exactly into that space. And this is the good news of Christmas, that the baby in the manger that we sing about, you know, it can kind of feel like a rote thing. Well, we do this every year on December the 24th, right? What year is Christmas 2055? Wasn't that one of the questions? It can kind of become rote, and we have to remind ourselves, why are we doing this? Why is this such a big deal? Because the identity of the child in the manger makes all the difference. And it brings us great hope when we feel confused, when we feel helpless, when we feel abandoned, or we feel troubled. His identity speaks directly to that. And that's what we see in Isaiah chapter 9. He says, there will be no gloom. And in chapter 8, there's gloom, there's darkness. In chapter 9, there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea. He is drawing a contrast. You see that contrastive word, the word but, that starts verse 1. There's darkness and gloom, but now there's something else to look forward to. No gloom. That was before. This is now. Then he says in verse 2, he gets even more explicit. The people who walked in darkness, the people who walked in confusion, the people who walked in trouble, the people who walked in helplessness, and they've seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. He goes on, because the nation of Israel, they were going to go into exile. There's going to be fewer of them. People were going to die. They were going to be taken into exile. But here in verse 3, he says, you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. See, the prophet is saying to God's people, he says, hey, hard times are coming. But before you think that God has given up on you, before you think God has turned his back on you, before you think you're alone in the world, you have to know this. On the other side of hard times, something else is going to happen. God is not done with his people. There's reason for hope. And then he's going to elucidate three reasons that we can be joyful. Verse 4, the first one, you see, each one starts with the word for. That's an explanatory word. He says, for the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. He's talking about people who are being oppressed. They're helpless. They're going to be taken captive. They're going to be taken away. They're not going to have their own freedom and determination. And he says to them, those things that are making you feel helpless and that you feel captive by, they're going to be broken and taken away. Then he says, verse 5, for every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. So he's talking about oppression in verse 4. In verse 5, he's talking about warfare, something that would destabilize their life, that would cause tremendous harm, something that was very uncertain. And he said, something's going to happen, and that's going to go away. It's not going to be around anymore. It's going to be burned up. The implements of war, they're gonna go away. And then verse 6. And verse 6 is where I really want to spend time, because he says this: for to us a child is born. And this is where it connects to Christmas. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. In two chapters before, in Isaiah 7, God made a promise to a not-so-good king about a child who was going to be born. And here he comes back to this idea of a child to be born, to fulfill his promise. Except this is not just a human child. In verse 6, for us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called, look at his names, Wonderful Counselor. Remember it said the people who've walked in darkness, the people who've walked in confusion. And here it says the name. And the name is what is true about this child that's going to be born, who's Jesus. He's going to be a Wonderful Counselor. He's going to be able to bring order, bring insight into confusion. He's going to be able to give direction when you don't know which way to go. He's the Wonderful Counselor. So this Christmas, if you have questions, you think, man, I just don't know what to do in life. I don't know if I should do that or this. I don't know if this is right or if that's right. I just, you know, there's so many opinions. There's so many people who would tell me the one way or the other, but I don't know who to trust. Jesus came. He came to earth as a baby, and he wants to be your Wonderful Counselor. He wants you to come to him when you're confused, when you don't know what to do. And he wants to bring his insight into it. And the thing about it is the miracle of Christmas, the baby in the manger, is the creator of everything. The one who knows the end from the beginning. That's why he can be your Wonderful Counselor. Because he's God come in the flesh. Look what it says, the second part of his name. He's the Wonderful Counselor. He's the Mighty God. You got to know, I was doing a search on this morning. I was going for a walk, thinking about this text as we were walking. And these names, three out of these four names, are absolutely unique in the Scripture. This is the only place you find them. And it's the only place you find them all clustered together like this. This isn't just going to be a baby who's very intelligent, a Wonderful Counselor. He's going to be Mighty God. And that answers the question of feeling helpless. Because if you feel like there's nobody on your side, or the people on your side are like small and insignificant and they're not very helpful, the baby in the manger, he's Mighty God. Which means there's somebody who wants to be on your side, who is as big as it possibly gets. The third descriptor, he says, Everlasting Father. And one of the reasons Christmas can be difficult as you get older is you start to lose loved ones. Maybe you're here and you've lost a father. Your father no longer gets to gather with you around the Christmas tree. Why is that? Because human fathers, even the best human fathers, get old, they can get sick, and they pass away. In contrast, this baby to be born is what he calls an everlasting father. A father is somebody who is on your side, who wants the best for you, who believes in you, hopefully. All the good things that a father should be. And this father, he says, is going to be an everlasting father. You know what that means? You are never abandoned. There is someone always in your corner if you belong to Jesus. Fourth descriptor, he says, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Peace in the scripture has to do with wholeness and well-being throughout your whole person, not just the absence of conflict. Certainly the absence of conflict is a part of peace, but it's not all of it. And what he's saying here is when you have a sense that the world is not right, when you're troubled and stirred up and anxious, this baby to be born, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the one who can come in and he can give you peace. Why can he give you peace? He can bring you peace because he paid the price to bring you peace. See, at the base of all of this, is this problem in our own heart. Why are we anxious about what's going on in the world? Why are we wanting to control everything? Why are relationships broken? The scriptures point to one thing. And they say the problem with everything is this thing, and it's called sin. And Jesus came so that he could take on flesh. And he took on flesh so that one day he could walk up a hill carrying a cross and be nailed to it, so he could become the means of having peace with God. So he could become the means of wiping away our sin. So he could become the means of forgiveness. So this Christmas, this is I think what Isaiah 9:6 says to you, no matter where you are. If you're here and you just want, man, I just wish we had a time machine and I could go back to 2019. I might try to sneak in with you. That sounds pretty good sometimes. But in lieu of that, what if we were to let Jesus' identity bring us hope? What if we were to let Jesus' identity speak to the issues that trouble us? The things that we're anxious or concerned about this Christmas season. It's interesting, he says in verse 2, he says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Maybe you're here and you feel like you're in darkness. Maybe this doesn't make sense to you. Maybe you got invited by a friend or a family member. And we're just thankful you're here with us. The scriptures teach that the problem ultimately is this thing called sin that I just talked about. And it's often described as darkness. But into that darkness, Jesus came, the Son of God. And he came and he lived a perfect life. In his life, if you could have put it in a metaphor, it would have been like the shiniest, brightest like light you could ever see. It was just radiant in the midst of the darkness. And this Christmas season, he would love to bring his light to your life. He would say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And you took on flesh as a baby. You died on the cross. You rose again from the dead so that you could take my darkness and give me your light. If you're here with a family or a friend who invited you, I'd say to you, you couldn't give them a better Christmas present if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Then call on Jesus. Let him bring his light into your darkness starting this Christmas. If you're here and you're like me, maybe you trusted Christ, I just encourage you, in the next few days, you're going to be busy. You're going to probably be bloated, right? Like, let's be real. There's probably Christmas cookies waiting, and you're like, dude, get done so I can go eat some Christmas cookies. Whatever the next few days hold for you, this is my hope for me and for you. that you would just marinate. Maybe you have a delicious piece of meat that is just marinating, waiting to go on the grill or in the oven after we're done. And that's awesome. I hope you enjoy it. But what if we marinated our hearts and our minds on who this says Jesus is? That he is the wonderful counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. What if when we look around at the world and we say, I don't know what to do. Here's a choice. I got a choice. I got options. I don't know which one is good. What if instead of just running to Google, we ran to Jesus and we said, Jesus, will you help? You know everything. Will you help me make a good choice here? And then we entrusted that decision to him because he's the wonderful counselor. When we look around at the world and we think, man, there's nothing I can do. Like COVID-19, it might go on forever. I mean, there's a lot of letters in the Greek alphabet. Right? Like, we don't know when this thing will end. Or maybe there's something else in your life. And you just feel helpless. You could marinate your heart and your mind in the fact that he is mighty God. And if mighty God thought enough of the human race to come take on flesh, that might mean we're not alone. If you feel abandoned by God, it says he's the everlasting Father. He's not going to grow old. He's not going to have to be buried. He's already been raised from the dead. So he will never leave you or forsake you. And he's the Prince of Peace. There was a moment in Jesus' life, and this is interesting, like because sometimes I'm just in turmoil, and I feel like there's a storm going on in my life, in my heart, in my mind. Sometimes I can't sleep because just these thoughts and anxieties, they keep me up. But there's this story. Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee one night with his disciples. And it looked like the boat they were in was going to sink because the storm was so severe. And he was asleep in the stern. And they were kind of ticked at him. So they woke him up and they said, Jesus, don't you even care? We're about to die. And he stood up. And I have to believe he had a little twinkle in his eye. Like, guys. And then he said, peace be still. And the wind and the waves went silent. And he brought peace to that tempest. And he wants to bring peace to the tempest inside you and me, so that we can go to him and we can say, Lord, I don't know how to calm my heart. But will you bring me peace? See, here's the thing. In verse 3, he says, you have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. And this Christmas, we have an opportunity because we live in a world that is full and people are confused, people have uncertainty, people have trouble, people have anxiety. That's like the state of the world. But we have a baby who came who is a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And as a result, we can rejoice because he's on our side. See, there's no going back to Christmas 2019. There's no telling if the world is going to ever go back to the way it used to be. But into the now, we have the assurance that the baby who came on Christmas is our wonderful counselor, is mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. My prayer is that we let that bring us joy this Christmas season. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these beautiful, wonderful words that were written so many years before you were born as a baby. We thank you that we can be here tonight to celebrate and just to mull over what your word inspired by your Spirit, says to us. And I pray that as we go from this place, Lord, to all the things that we're going to be doing, the food that we're going to be eating, and the family we're going to get together with, and the presents that are probably going to be opened, and all the activities of the season, that we would not lose sight of who you are. You are the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Help us to know that. Help us to have joy in that this Christmas season. We pray in your name. Amen.